Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wake up to Golic and Wingo in the morning and drive home with Danger and Battaglia in the sports bar. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Sabres hockey tonight at 7 o'clock on the sports leader, but listen anyways. No, Sabres, Red Wings.
It feels like a glorified Amherst game tonight.
As good,
right?
As an AHL matchup as you can get for NBCSN. Let's get you teed up for tonight's action with Lance Lisowski covering the Sabres, Buffalo News. One of our regulars here on the Sports Bar. Lance, always good to hear from you. How are you, bud?
Doing well, guys. Doing well. I don't know. I think an Amherst game might be better than what people might see tonight, but we'll see about that. I'm not so sure.
Well, yeah, the Amherst winners of six in a row, but we get... let's start with a positive. I mean, what can we expect out of Jonas Johansson tonight? I mean, not fair that he gave up the 2-on-1, I suppose. That's a tough spot, I guess, going into a game Tuesday night where the wheels had already come off there, Lance.
No, it's a great story. He had maybe a little bit different of a road to the NHL, you know, 27 games and a total of 54 games in Cincinnati over 2 years. Didn't really get to play a heck of a lot in Rochester. Really up until this year, he had 13 wins in 16 games. So really good story. Remember, he had season-ending surgery, you know, less than a year ago. So it's really interested to see how he performs, because it's a good opportunity for the Sabres to see what they have in him. He's a pending restricted free agent, and with UPL in Rochester, maybe it's time to see if Jonas can be maybe an answer in Buffalo next season.
All right, Lance, let's talk about how bad the Sabres opponent is tonight. These Red Wings are, wow. The thought of losing to this team, just it makes the skin crawl. Talk about the ineptitudes of the Detroit Red Wings in 2019 and beyond.
Yeah, it's one of those weird cases where they shouldn't be nearly as bad as they are, but they haven't had really any goaltending, haven't received goaltending, have dealt with some injuries, already lacked depth as it was. So I guess this is a tank for them. They're not calling it that, but it's a very bad hockey team. Really not a whole lot of skill. I always like watching Dylan Larkin play. He's a fun guy to watch. Bertuzzi's good. There's just not much there, though.
Tonight, Sabres and Red Wings, and it is on national television. I mean, Lance, I'm fearful what we might see or how this might come across on television tonight, whether that's as many Red Wing jerseys as Sabre jerseys, as many, maybe we have empty seats. What do you think we see tonight on television?
Yeah, it won't be much of an atmosphere at the game. I'm sure that NBC is probably wondering what they were doing when they scheduled that one, but it's scheduled. An important game for the Sabres, though. I know they have, 1.3% chance to make it to playoffs at this point, but they have to start winning games. I think that this group needs some confidence after what happened against Colorado, which was a horrible look. They're not as bad as they were against Colorado, but they aren't as good as maybe they played in some of these games against really elite teams. But the Sabres tend to play down to their competition, which makes you wonder how they're going to respond against the Detroit team tonight.
Oh, God. It's absolutely terrifying. Talk about that Colorado game from the other night, Lance, because in true Buffalo sports fashion, they gave you just enough hope there at the end of the first period to make you think that they were going to hang with one of the NHL's best teams.
Yeah, and then they give up that one early one in the second period, and they sort of just fell apart from there. Very strange. I mean, Carter Hutton had a bad game, let's face it. There are three goals that I'm sure that he wanted back. In the same token, look at all the odd man rushes. You know, it could have been a 10 or 11 to 1 game if Jonas Johansson doesn't do what he did in the third period. He made some nice saves. So, really bad defensive effort. They couldn't break the puck out of their own zone. It was really startling how slow they looked compared to Colorado. I mean, yeah, the Avalanche are a fast team, but there was a huge gap there in terms of team speed, especially on the rush from the forward group. It just sort of exposed what we sort of knew about this team. Not enough talent or skill, speed up front, and it's probably time to make a change, but from what from what it looks like, I don't know how much of a change is going to be other than maybe some pending unrestricted free agents being traded before the deadline.
Lance, you have been around this league. You've covered the league in different markets. We don't hear from the Pegulas. I don't know. I mean, is that normal that you don't hear from an NHL owner, or is that has the time come for one of the two, whether that's Kim or Terry, to say something here?
Well, it is common to not hear from an owner. A lot of owners across the league don't really talk a heck of a lot. It's a little bit different than other professional sports, but you usually have a team president that comes up and speaks in times like this. And of course, Kim Pegula is the team president. I could understand why, you know, maybe some words haven't been spoken, but if that's the case, then you need somebody to step up. It shouldn't be Jason Botterill going to bat for the vision of this organization at this point. He should be only asked about hockey questions, right? He should be asked about roster construction, what's he going to do in the future. But in terms of fan outrage, I don't know. I don't really think it's his place. I think it puts him in a weird spot. You need somebody to step up. This is why you used to have guys like Ted Black, and a lot of teams across the league have their team president step up and talk in times like this. And that goes back to what a lot of people have been calling for, is maybe a director of hockey operations. I think you need an experienced general manager to work alongside Jason Botterill. I don't want another GM change, but I want somebody there to maybe help with the vision and maybe be that spokesperson who comes out and speaks in a time like this.
Well, isn't that what Randy Sexton is supposed to be?
Well, he's an assistant GM. An assistant GM in almost any other situation isn't the one who's supposed to step up and say things like that, or even maybe oversee a management team. You know, Jason Botterill, he's a first-time general manager, right? I know he's been doing this for 3 years, but you see some of the trades that have been made. You see some of the lack of movement. You look at the roster, and I'm sorry, it's just not good enough at this point. You know, of course, the prospect pipeline could help. I really like Randy Sexton. I like Steve Greeley. I think they do have a good management team, but why not get another voice in that room, somebody who's an experienced general manager that's had a few stops and has had really top-notch success in the league to kind of help out here? Because what they're doing isn't working, let's face it.
Yeah, well, I agree that you need a team president or somebody like that, but does it work if Jason Botterill now all of a sudden has to report to somebody? The dynamic there, Lance, I mean, is that even feasible?
I think it's feasible, but you need to hire somebody who's going to be a good fit for the situation, who believes in Jason Botterill's development model and what they use to scout players, somebody who has a very similar vision and isn't micromanaging the situation. You saw what Columbus was doing with John Davidson and their general manager the last couple of years. It was a very effective model, and it helped them really build their roster, those two working in lockstep. And then once that team was in a really good spot, you saw Davidson leave for the New York Rangers, and you don't really need a team president anymore. I think that right now, where the Sabres are as an organization, just get somebody in with some new ideas, right, who's going to work in lockstep with Jason Botterill and have everybody on the same page. I don't think that it's, you know, a crazy thought that that's possible.
Lance Osowski covering the Sabres for the Buffalo News. Lance, we're going to be talking next hour to Greg Wyshynski, the senior NHL writer over to ESPN.com, who just threw out a flamethrower, just torched the Sabres with an article that he put out there. And he actually laid out a couple of different scenarios for the team if they were to move on from Jason Botterill here in the offseason. I'm curious if you what your thoughts are in either of these two scenarios. One would be a Chris Drury type to come in if the Rangers were ever to let him go. Or do you see the first ever coach GM in the league since Daryl Sutter in Calgary and Ralph Kruger?
I would say no to either of those scenarios. The Rangers have shown no interest in letting Chris Drury walk, and if you're going to get rid of Jason Botterill, hire an experienced general manager, someone who's done it before. I don't understand why you would go ahead and hire a first-time GM, and then Ralph Kruger doesn't know this league well enough to be a general manager. Yeah, he's picked the Swiss national team, but I don't see that as being a possibility at this point, and I really don't think that firing anybody is the solution right here, because yes, it is bad right now. The roster isn't good enough, but let's not forget what this team looked like, you know, even a year ago, last March. There's been some progress. There just hasn't been enough for, you know, 3 years into a general manager's tenure. I think you need to pivot. Add another voice in there, somebody with experience who can help Jason Botterill and try to make this thing work.
Lance, I look at the Buffalo fan base, and I see a Buffalo fan base that will come out in the freezing cold on Thanksgiving night to cheer a team that wins. They're that passionate, but with a team that's going in the opposite direction as the Sabres, and you know this fan protest that's coming up Saturday morning at 11 o'clock. I mean, do you have any idea the scope of this? I mean, is it going to be just 50 people and that's it? Or is this going to end up being a big thing? I'm sure, somebody from the news is going to, go out and cover it because it is an angle there. But what's your sense here, what this may look like coming up Saturday morning?
Honestly, I haven't heard. And I really haven't been given any indication how many people are interested in even attending the event. You see sort of protests like this in some other markets with certain teams, maybe not necessarily NHL, but I think the message has already been sent. I don't know if a fan protest is necessary. When you look at what happened during that Colorado game, the arena was mostly empty after the second period. Yeah. A lot of fans left after the second period. When your team gets booed three times on home ice in a week, there's your message, okay? I think that fans, they're not buying tickets from those secondary sellers like they were earlier in the season. I can't imagine what the crowd's going to look like tonight in KeyBank Center. That's the message. It's a story, of course. It's something that will be covered, and it really doesn't surprise me to see Sabres fans as passionate as they are trying to organize something like they are for this Saturday in terms of that protest. But I just don't know what other powerful message you could send other than booing your team three times in a week when you just look at the history of this organization and how passionate and loyal the fan base has been over the years.
Lance, I feel like we ask you this every time we get you on here. As the trade deadline gets closer and closer and you start to hear speculation from around the league, are you hearing anything new in terms of the Sabres and their ability to potentially, make some kind of a move here at the deadline?
I think they'll be pretty active, to be honest with you, but in the direction that fans probably don't want. I think they're going to trade pending UFAs. I mean, Demkis Jurgensen and Johan Larsson are two guys who will gain interest. I'm sure that people will want them as the type of checking line forwards that playoff teams want this time of year. Maybe Jimmy Vesey and Connor Sherry are coveted by other teams. Those are also two guys who I would say won't be back next season. You could always throw Michael Frolik out there. I don't know if the Sabres will have any interest in bringing him back, but that trade certainly hasn't worked out from an offensive perspective. He, only one goal so far since he's arrived. So, yeah, there's just really not that big move to be made that we know of at the deadline. They're not going to go out and get Patrick Kane or some other ridiculous move that, there could be speculation about. I think that, you throw Ristolainen and Montour out there, see if you get the offer you want. If you don't, you can always trade them this offseason. So, we'll see how it shakes out. But with where the team is at, I would assume that Jason Bottrell is going to go into sell mode here.
Yeah, let's assume maybe, not assume, let's speculate, Lance, if the Sabres do decide to move on from Bottrell this offseason. Is it an attractive position? Is Buffalo an attractive franchise for GM? Because you could say, you could look at it one of two ways. With all the money coming off the books, it would be, but then, I don't know, just whatever the pall is hanging over this franchise, is Buffalo an attractive job for a general manager?
You have Jack Eichel. I think that every general manager who's looking at jobs around the league, they want an elite center. They want a superstar player. And you got Rasmus Dahlin. You've got Victor Olofsson. You've got some nice pieces here. The whole thing they're missing out on is depth players, getting secondary scoring, getting Jeff Skinner going, because they don't even have their second best center on the roster right now is Johan Larsson. Marcus Johansson's not a center. So it's patching that you need to do. I think it would take a couple of years to get this team to where it needs to be. But yeah, I think that, when you look at experienced general managers who are available, I mean, I think if the Pujols were interested in Ray Shiro, I don't think Ray Shiro would absolutely say no. I think he would listen to what they have to say.
Lance, it's always great getting you on to talk Sabres. We look forward to reading your work after the game tonight. Let's do it again real soon, bud.
Thanks. Anytime, guys.
Got it. Lance Lisowski covering the Sabres for the Buffalo News. You can read his work there. The Sabres and the Red Wings tonight, 7 o'clock here on ESPN Rochester.
I think he hit it on the head that the Sabres got booed going on to the ice.
Yikes.
In the third period. Booed three times. So if it's scoreless after the first period tonight, the Sabres get booed?
Oh, man.
Well, it all depends how they play and if the goalie's standing on his head or whatever, but Yeah, it's not good. It's not good. And let me predict what will happen on Saturday regarding this fan protest. It's a made-for-TV event, right? You will have fans out there. That Saturday's kind of a different news day where you will have cameras out there. Smart, whoever organized this, put it at 11 o'clock because that gives the cameras a lot of time to then go back, edit it, and now it's not in the sports segment. It's in the news segment, so it'll get coverage. I don't know just how many people are going to invest time going out. And, you know, maybe a few hundred. That would be my prediction.
Maybe. A few hundred. Let's get to All Drink to That next, Gino. Takes on Tap. We've got some sports thoughts to wrap your mind around. You're always welcome to join us in the sports bar at 454-ESPN. Some numbers were shared by a Boston reporter that are pretty eye-opening. If you have kids, I'm going to tell you which direction you need to send your children.
I'm throwing the BS flag on the Boston Red Sox here.
Oh.
Yeah, like you read the headline, I'm going to tell you exactly what's going on here, why this deal is held up. Please, don't plead ignorance with me.
And I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, every Red Sox fan should be insulted. Go ahead.
Last night, I got to witness a player who I've watched before for the very first time. The actual player that I've watched before. I got to watch him for the very first time. We'll explain, and I'll get to that here next with I'll Drink to That in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, appreciate you joining us, AM 950 and 95.7 FM ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com. The online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.